Y'all not here back there? Well, amen. We are in a study right now of the book of Mark. Mark was probably one of the earliest gospels written by John Mark. And we're over in chapter 2 already. We've seen where Jesus has come and he began his earthly ministry and he goes into the synagogues and he preaches. And he's to where he's been healing the lepers. He's done some miraculous things, performed miracles. And he started getting a following. And as we saw last week where he healed the leper and told the leper to go and present himself to the priest and get the priest to perform the ritual of him being cleansed. And it would benefit him, one, and it would benefit the priest. Christ is teaching here as he's doing these things, and he's trying to get people to understand the Old Testament. He's going to talk today to the Pharisees and the rabbis, and he's again trying to get them to understand their Old Testament. They knew their Old Testament up here, but they didn't get it in their hearts. They had a head full of knowledge, but they had a heart that was bound for hell. And I've heard mentioned a time or two where people miss heaven by about 11 inches. They got it up here, but they don't have it in their hearts. And Christ is trying to explain these things that are going on in a heavenly fashion so that they would understand the Old Testament. We talked last week about it, my family and I, when Paul finally was converted, I believe on the road to Damascus, not what others teach now, I believe that Paul had to go and rethink basically his entire life. He definitely had to go and rethink all of the Old Testament scriptures that he knew in light of Jesus Christ. And when we teach today, 2,000 years after Christ, and we look at it from this side saying, okay, we understand that that's Jesus Christ, and it's a little simpler for us. But they were looking forward, looking for that, whatever, when that day came, that he would come and fulfill all those Old Testament scriptures. So Paul had to relook his entire being and the things that he was doing because of the light of Jesus Christ and what he was in the Old Testament. Jesus is going to try and explain to the rabbis and the Pharisees what's going on with the Sabbath. Now, the Sabbath doesn't mean Saturday. The Sabbath simply means rest. That's all it means. It's taken from the ordinance was given to Moses. There was really no observance until the Ten Commandments were given for a Sabbath. But it was a day of rest. It was given to Moses after they had come out of Egypt. It was given to him so that the Jews would understand, or the Israelites would understand, that God created the heavens and the earth. It was a time for them to say, hey, he had 6 days and a rest. And we understand that he rested on Saturday, and that was what it was at that time, that it was for a remembrance of Christ being the Creator, and that he took them out of Egypt, and it was the Creator that took them out of Egypt. So it was a remembrance done in honor of God. It also separated them from the rest of the world. You understand, the rest of the world just works 7 days a week. I mean, they just go, go, go. You know, our calendars have now moved to where you have Monday at the first day over here is Monday, and then you have the weekend, Saturday, Sunday, right? Well, that's wrong. You know, Sunday's the first day of the week. Friday starts the weekend. Saturday ends the weekend, okay? But it separated the Israelites from the rest of the world. The rest of the world could look at them and say, hey, you guys aren't working today. What's going on? I hope that's what people are asking about us. Hey, you guys are doing a different routine than you do every other day of the week. Y'all have stopped. You've dressed up. There's something different about you guys. You know, I've give this illustration a time before. When we get up to our front gate every morning, there's a neighbor that lives up by there, and every Sunday morning, in and around 7:45 to 8 o'clock, we're at that front gate every Sunday morning, Lord willing. And we're dressed like this, and their hunch is that we're going to church again. That's a testimony. That's a testimony to somebody that says, hey, they're separate from what everybody else is doing. And I hope that's a testimony that you guys put out every Sunday. Amen. That we stop and we recognize the Creator of the universe. We recognize that God not only got the Israelites out, but He also got us out of this world through His Son, Jesus Christ. So the Sabbath was made for man to rest. Not only man, but all of his family, all of his employees, and even his animals. It was a day for everybody just to kind of stop and catch up and just kind of not really do your own thing, but just kind of rest, you know. And again, to be separate so that the rest of the world wouldn't say, well, you know, he's just going on like he always goes on. No, there's something different about that group of people. It set them apart from everybody else. If you didn't keep the Sabbath, it was punishable by death. They felt like the Sabbath was a covenant with God, and that if you broke that covenant, that your penalty would be death. So what ended up happening was the Talmud, or the Jewish law, ended up creating about 1,000 more rules and regulations pertaining only to the Sabbath. You couldn't so much as if a vessel, say a wooden vessel or something, was leaking out liquid, be it wine or whatever liquid you had, you couldn't so much as take a little bit of wax and stop that up from running out. It just had to run out if it was a Sabbath. I think about you every time I think about this law. You couldn't carry a needle around with you on the Sabbath. You couldn't carry a needle for any kind of mending or anything. You couldn't wipe off any kind of wound on the Sabbath. They got it so ridiculous, and just the things, a sheaf that's part of a corn stalk or whatever, laying in the field, you couldn't pick one of those up on the Sabbath unless you laid a spoon on it, and then you could pick it up and the spoon together. But it got ridiculous. It got to where it was just, you couldn't do anything. My wife said, what did they do? Just expect you to lay around in bed all day? You know, you couldn't just say, well, that's all silliness, I'm not going to do it, because they could put you to death. This is how bad it got with all the rabbinical laws and the things that they come up with. You couldn't do anything. So Jesus is going to show them here how silly all their rules and regulations are, and just explain to them that the Sabbath isn't any more important than any other day if your mind's not right. After we pray, Mark chapter 2. Lord, thank you again for all who've come out. And Father, I pray that, Lord, each of us here today, Lord, would just be lifted up. And Lord, that we'd be, Lord, just encouraged by your word. Father, that we would have rest in you. Lord, I pray for all these, Lord, with just the emotional things going on in their lives, Lord, these with physical problems, Father, that you are the great physician and still heal. And Lord, I pray for Harry's little boy, Lord, I just pray, Lord, that there'd be a favorable outcome there. And Father, again, just be with all those who are saddened today. Lord, thank you for our mates, and Lord, for this day that we celebrate. In Christ's name, amen. Mark chapter 2 and verse 23 says, and it came to pass that he went through the cornfields on the Sabbath day, and his disciples began, as they went, to pluck the ears of corn. In Deuteronomy chapter 23 and verse 25 it says, when thou comest into the standing corn of thy neighbor, thou may pluckest the ears with thine hand, but thou shalt not move a sickle unto thy neighbor's standing corn. By law, you could take off a piece of corn and eat it. You could partake in their vineyard. You just couldn't load stuff up. If you were hungry, you could go and partake in the abundance of what your neighbor had. That's part of the law in Deuteronomy. Jesus said, it's okay for them to do that. The law says that they can do it. Verse 24, and the Pharisees said unto him, behold, why do they do on the Sabbath day which is not lawful? Their problem was is that they were doing it on Sunday. Here's the problem. By rule, if you broke off a piece of corn or maize or whatever you did, milo, any kind of wheat, if you broke that off, guess what? You were reaping. And you can't reap on the Sabbath. You can't pluck off one ear or one head of stalk because that was reaping. Then if you begin to even go further and husk that corn back, you were sifting. Now you were still in major trouble. Because it was all done on the Sabbath. For one to, you know, that was hungry to take that one. Now they weren't, again, laying the sickle to it and harvesting and doing all that stuff. All they were doing was providing food for that day. You understand that on Friday, they basically had to work double to prepare for the next day because they couldn't do anything. It became such a burden on them, they didn't look forward to the Sabbath at all because it gave them double work on one day, and then if they, you know, didn't get something done or something happened, if they tried to fix it, they could be put to death. It just wasn't a day of blessing at all, and God set it out for a day of blessing. Man, thank you, God, for allowing us a day of rest. Then they put all these rules and regulations on it that just turned it into a burdensome day. With the heaviness of, if I do something different, I can be put to death. Man, how is that for a day of rest? You can rest, but if you do something, we're going to kill you. You know, how is that rest? So the Pharisees, why do you do that which is lawful? Verse 25, and he said unto them, have you never read what David did when he had need and was an hungered, he and they were with him? How he went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar, the high priest, and did eat the showbread, which is not lawful to eat but for the priests, and gave also to them which were with him. Now Jesus asked them a question that he already knew the answer to. He said, have you not read what David did? Of course they had. These were the Pharisees. They were very versed in the Old Testament Scriptures. They already knew this story, but they didn't get it. You know, I'm reminded of when Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, who come to him at night and said, hey, how can a man be born again when he's old? And he said, Nicodemus, you teach this and you don't get it? I mean, he should have known. He was teaching it. So here, Jesus says, have you never read what David did? Now, David wasn't the king then. Saul was chasing him around trying to kill him. Him and his men were running from Saul. They come to the high priest. They're hungry. And they came in and they took the showbread that was there. This showbread, every week, they would bring 12 loaves in representation of every tribe of Israel. They would take the old loaves out and they would put 12 new loaves in. The 12 loaves that they took out was for the priests. And they would partake in that bread. David shows up. The priest is kind of afraid of David and all of his men. He's definitely afraid of Saul and he's afraid of God. But the common sense thing is, let them eat the bread. They're hungry. So he says, you know, well, this was David. Oh, now hang on, don't get on David. David's our man. He was our greatest king. Don't even talk about David. This is the Israelites. Don't even get on David. He's our guy. So Jesus says, well, what about the guys that were with him? Was they not just as hungry? I mean, was it okay for David to get it and them not? You understand how ridiculous the law got down to was if they said, well, now hang on, David, he was our greatest king. Don't say nothing bad about David. Well, what about the guys that were with him? They'd been through the same stuff that David was. They were running from the same guy David was. They were worried about Saul themselves. But he gave to David to eat. Do you understand how big a problem it would be for some layperson or some Gentile to come in to the holies and take and sit down and eat that bread? You'd pretty well need to kill that guy, wouldn't you? Well, guess what Jesus told him? That's what David did. David wasn't anybody then. David wasn't a king or anybody. He was exactly what those guys were going to be mad at. But hang on, that's David. So Jesus said, David did it, and also the guys that were with him. And the priest gave them to eat. He says in verse 27, and he said unto them, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. You see, God created the Sabbath for rest. Some 2,500 years before the law was ever given, God said, I want you to have rest. And they got it turned around to where man was created for the Sabbath because all the rules and regulations that were placed upon them. They didn't really want all those rules and regulations. Well, they did, but they didn't look back at it. When Paul came to James, who was at that time the leader of the church at Jerusalem, he came with the circumcision proposal. And he said, hey, James ended up looking at it and saying in Acts, he said, look, we don't like all the rules and regulations placed on us. Why would we want to do that to the new converts? We didn't like all of them. Why would we continue that on? So here, he says, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. You know, that corn that they plucked off of, that was his. That was his seed that was in the ground. That was his sun that he put up there to shine down on it. Matter of fact, that was his dirt. I love that joke about get your own dirt. Yeah. That was his dirt too. And those Pharisaical people said, you can't take that. And it wasn't that it was because it was unlawful, but it was because it was on a certain day. And they thought so much of their Sabbath day that that's where their hope was in. Their hope was in that day. You know, here's our day of rest. Man, don't mess with our day of rest. This is what's sacred to us. But that's not where we find our rest. Chapter 3, he continues on. And he entered again into the synagogue. And there was a man there which had a withered hand. And they watched him, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day, and they might accuse him. Now, if you'll remember, just about a week previous to this, there's a leper there on the Sabbath day, and he heals him. And everybody, including the Pharisees, was amazed. Remember, we talked about that last week, that everybody there was amazed. Everybody meant everybody. They didn't appear to be upset on that Sabbath day. Didn't really bother them that much. But now they're watching. Now they're just looking for something that they can say, all right, we got you now. They were kind of taken off guard the week before. You know, when Jesus heals this man there in the synagogue. But look where their focus is. Their focus is on their rules and regulations. And nobody had sympathy for this man. Not one person. We're going to see here in the next verse that Jesus was pretty mad about that. He looked around angrily at everyone because of their attitude was, well, we don't care about what you're doing. We care more about what our stuff is about. Nobody had compassion on this guy. He tells the guy, in verse 3, he says, and he said unto the man which had the withered hand, stand forth. Now, here they are in the synagogue. Pharisees are there. Rabbis there. Great multitude of people. I'm sure this guy was apprehensive, to say the least, but he knew who Jesus was. And he said, all right, he picked me. I'm going to probably get the miracle that guy got last week. And he stands forth. And Jesus said unto them, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days or to do evil? Save a life or to kill? But they held their peace. He asked them a simple question. He said, hey, is it lawful to do good or to do evil on the Sabbath? Well, there's no answer. I mean, it's never the right thing to do evil, right? There's never a day qualified to kill. Jesus said, look what your emphasis is on. Your emphasis is on this one day, not what we're doing here. The emphasis was, do we do good or do we do evil? You realize if someone's house was burning down, you could not go and put it out. I started to say you couldn't go help them put it out, but they couldn't do anything about it either. They just had to stand there because it was the Sabbath and watch their house burn to the ground. You couldn't, if someone fell in the river, you couldn't jump in and save them because it was the Sabbath. Now, if it was Monday, everybody jump in and get them out, no harm done. But because of that day, you couldn't do anything. Because if you saved that life, you would lose your life. You see how it just didn't make sense, folks? They put their hope and their stock in this day. And there's reason for that, of what they did. Verse 5 says, and when he looked round about on them with anger, being grieved for their hardness of hearts, he said unto the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other. This man had a withered hand. Jesus looked upon him and had compassion on him. This man probably, because of this withered hand, wasn't able to work and do the things that normal people would do. Chances are he would have to beg for his food. Jesus had compassion on that. He saw this man in a state that he just had no hope. You know, his cards that were dealt to him is what he was playing with, and that's what he had to do. When Jesus looks upon him with compassion, the Pharisees get mad at him because he's doing it on the wrong day. That's just wrong, folks. Jesus asked him the question, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath or to do evil? He was trying to point to him to say, look, you got the Sabbath deal all wrong. You're putting all your stock in a day. That's not what it's about. This man who couldn't at the time stretch forth his hand. But you know what? When the Creator of the universe gave him a command, that hand didn't have nothing else to do but stretch forth. And it happened. It happened, and this man was made whole. The Jews were set apart from the world. Like I said, they held this Sabbath every seventh day, which was on Saturday, and all of society understood that they were worshiping God. You know, that's a visible sign that they were doing. There were three things that separated them apart from the world that they did. One was circumcision. Jews were given circumcision through God, and that was a covenant between them and God. Now, I told y'all a minute ago that Paul comes to James, the head of the Jerusalem church, and he says, look, you don't have to be circumcised to be saved. That was a huge problem with the Jews. Remember, they wanted to say, well, I believe Jesus is the Savior, but man, we got to keep hold of our circumcision here. I mean, that's really all we got. And Paul said, no, you don't have to be circumcised to be saved. That's just a ritual that God gave them in the Old Testament. Jesus Christ had come and fulfilled all of that. There was no need for circumcision anymore. But the Jews had circumcision. They had a strict Levitical diet. Remember, they could only eat certain things. Only certain things could they partake in with anyone else. It was very rigid, and that was something else that set them apart. But God gave Peter a vision, and said, hey, you can eat of those things. Remember Peter's answer was, not so, Lord? Well, you can't say that and mean that. You can't say not so and Lord. It doesn't work. He's either Lord of your life and everything is so, or not so and He's not Lord of your life. But Peter said, not so, Lord. When he had this vision where God told him that he could eat whatever. So, they had lost their circumcision ceremonies. They had lost their Levitical diet. All they really had was the Sabbath. And that was something outwardly that they were doing, that they could show how religious they were being. They used to wear a fringe deal on their garments, a blue fringe deal. When Jesus showed up, they were almost in a gaudy fringe, big, huge fringe. And He got mad at them because He said, man, what are y'all doing? Do you think the bigger and more fringe you got, the more holy you are? I mean, it got so ridiculous with them. But what they did is they got into such tunnel vision that they didn't see the Messiah. The one that was foretold, they didn't see Him when He came. Jesus had a hard time convincing them that He was the Messiah. He was the promised one. So here, the Pharisees, again, they had their weekly observance of the Sabbath. Christ pretty well abolished all those. But remember, it was punishable by death. What do you do? You know, do you obey the laws of the land or do you obey God? Jesus was trying to show them how ridiculous them holding to that one day was. Christ wasn't intimidated. He told the man to stand forth, and He healed him right there on the Sabbath day. He asked them the question, should I do good or should I do evil? And they said, well, you should do good tomorrow. That was their answer in their heart. Don't do good today, do good tomorrow. Again, nobody had any sympathy for this man, and it upset Jesus. He says in verse 5, He says, when He looked around about on them with anger, being grieved for their hardness of their hearts. They cared less about that guy, but more worried about their rituals and the things that they'd come up with, their oral law that they had. It angered Christ so much so that it also just grieved Him. Look at verse 6. After He had made this man whole, verse 6 says, and the Pharisees went forth and straightway took counsel with the Herodians against Him how they might destroy Him. And I'll tell you what, here's a terrible statement here in verse number 6. It says, they took counsel with the Herodians against Him. The Herodians were a group of a religious sect that Herod had started, and they really didn't have anything in common with the Pharisees until now. And they both adamantly disliked this Jesus. So they get with the Herodians, and look what it says. They took counsel against Him. Against Him. Here's a man that was healing their sick, cleansing their lepers, feeding thousands, going around doing good. And the church group said, we're against Him. Man, where was their minds? Where were their minds at? He'd give sight to the blind. He'd raise their dead. Yet they said, man, we got to do something about this guy. Where was their minds at? Their minds were in self. That's where they were at. They were in the things that they had come up with. When the high priest finally decides, we got to get rid of this Christ, he says, because if we don't, we'll lose not only our place, but our nation. They were more concerned about the things that they had going on than the Savior of this world. Their heads were in self. What can happen with me? But look there again, it says, against him, how they might destroy him. Man, what a terrible statement. The eternal, the uncreated, self-existing one, the sustainer of the universe. That's who he is. He not only created it, but he sustains it. He keeps it going. He keeps it doing what we're doing. Every breath of air that we get is from him. By his hand, the stars were placed in the heavens. The planets, everything. And they said, you know what? We need to destroy him. Well, we understand they might as well have tried to destroy the universe before they was going to destroy him. So their plan was awry to begin with. But look at their hearts. I'll tell you that if your religion doesn't work with Jesus Christ, your religion is wrong. If your religion doesn't have Jesus Christ in it, then it's a false religion. I'll say it again. It's a false religion if it doesn't have Jesus Christ in it. There's a couple of TV shows that we watch every week, and some of the characters come on there. Y'all probably seen it, and I don't even remember what station or channel it is, but it's a channel with, it says, we got characters. And they all stand up there and they say, I'm a this, I'm a that, I'm a this. And one of the ladies says, I believe in all paths to God. Well, she's wrong. Let me just get that out there. That's not my opinion. That's what God said. She's wrong. There's one path to God. Jesus Christ said, I am the way. Not a number of ways or one way or one way of getting there. I am the way. What was wrong is they couldn't mold this Jesus character to fit into their religion. Wasn't ever going to happen. And if you can't get him to mold into your religion's wrong. Hinduism, Buddhism, you name them all, if they don't have Jesus Christ in it, that religion is a false religion. Get mad at me if you want to, but God's the one that said it. All I'm doing is reading it. But I'm telling you that the Pharisees had a problem because he wasn't fitting into what they were wanting to do. They were more concerned about their well-being than they were about anybody around them. Anybody around them. I talked to Brother Stone this morning. Friend Day's coming up in April. I'm going to keep promoting it every week because I would really like to see us double our attendance. I think that would be such an honor for your friend to come to you or with you to the house of God. And when they get here to understand, wow, you thought enough about me to invite me in here. And over the weekend, as we were sitting at home by the fire, God just laid upon my heart, man, I would love for our theme to be Let Down a Friend. Let Down a Friend. You know, there was four that we talked about last week that let a friend down. And Jesus said because of their faith, he was made whole. That's pretty cool, isn't it, Roger? Just let down a friend. You know what? Jesus looked upon them. They said, you know what? We know the condition of our friend. We know what shape he's in and who he needs. And man, they let him down. They let him down to the one that could help him. And I just think that's such an honor for somebody, for you to bring somebody to the house of God and hear his word. And hopefully it's a life-changing experience for them. For eternity. Not just here for a short period of time, but for eternity. It's a monumental thing. Greatest event in your life. I love to hear sports guys say, boy, this is the greatest thing that ever happened to me. Man, I'll tell you the greatest thing that ever happened to me wasn't my wife. It was that Jesus Christ saved my soul. Amen. That's the greatest thing that ever happened to me. All that other stuff, man, that's fluff. bar none, if the greatest event in your life isn't that you got saved from the pits of hell, you need to check your soul. That should be the greatest event that ever happens in your life, because that's forever. Now let's deal with life. You know, now we can get on with this thing that we call life and deal with that. But the first thing you are to do is make sure, am I saved? Have I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior? These Pharisees didn't accept Christ. He didn't fit into what they had going on. And you know, in our lives we do that too. Man, that's gonna mess with my Sundays. Isn't it? You know, sometimes people go to the lake on Sunday. They have no idea that they may be heading to the lake of fire. Hope you got a good boat this time. This is not going to help you. When people begin to see, like these Pharisees, that Christ isn't fitting into what they want it to be, maybe you better change what your wants are. That might be the thing. Jesus was grieved in his heart that they were so hard of heart about this Sabbath. But I'll tell you guys that our hope's not in a day, it's in a person. That person's Jesus Christ. Our hope doesn't have anything to do with, has nothing to do with a day. Everything to do with Christ. There was creation and rest. There was Canaan land and rest. There was Calvary and rest. God wants us to enter into His rest. But that rest is not in a day. It's not in the Sabbath. It's in the person of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord, thank you again for your word. Father, thank you for each of these who've come out to hear your word. Father, I pray that, Lord, you just convict hearts today, Lord, with something that said that would be a positive, life-changing experience for them. Lord, thank you for all the visitors who've come, Lord, to hear your word. Father, I pray that you would move in people's lives today, Lord, and again, strengthen our preacher, Lord, restore him to us in Christ's name.